Hi, I'm Carmen LaBerge. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hello, friends. I'm Carmen LaBerge. Welcome to Connecting Faith. We are trying to reconnect the eternal with the everyday in ways that honor Jesus. We're trying to bring the mind of Christ to bear on the headline news of the day. We're trying to, cultivate the mind of Christ on the matters of the day in which we live in order that, you know, we might be more effective ambassadors. We might actually enter into the conversations of the day and bear authentic and positive witness to who Jesus Christ actually is, not just, ideas that we might have fabricated about him along the way. And so let's jump in. We're actually going to spend this entire week talking about one subject. That's right. We're going to spend this entire week on Connecting Faith on the subject of immigration. We're going to look at what the media says, what politicians are saying, what the Bible says. We're going to seek to be non-defensive as we listen to the views of others, because trust me, they're not always going to line up with what you and I already think on this subject. And my guess is that there would be parts of this conversation where we're not all going to agree. So we're going to consider the humanity of those who are caught up in America's immigration policy mess. And just today, like if you were just literally to Google the word immigration in your news feed today, you're going to get headlines ranging from fights in Washington over the farm bill to California's showdown with the president to the active deportation of people with minor children who are, in fact, American citizens. You're going to get headlines related to Dreamers, and you're going to get headlines related to DACA. You're going to get headlines related to asylum seekers, and you're going to certainly get headlines related to refugees. You're going to get headlines related to the U.S. Supreme Court. Literally, when we talk about the subject of immigration, we're talking about something that's very wide-ranging, and we're talking about something that literally touches each and every one of us. There are a range of opinions espoused by Christians. We're going to seek to sort those out. We're going to clarify terms. We're going to seek to gain God's perspective on what has become a very, very highly contentious and inflammatory topic of conversation, even among Christians. Like, this is not even something we know how to talk about amongst ourselves, let alone something that we know how to talk about substantively in the conversations of the day. And so we got to spend some time on it. And it's not the kind of subject matter that we could cover in a day. Frankly, having done the research related to this week and issued the invitations for people to come on the show, let me just tell you, I don't think we can do it in a week, but we're going to do our best to, at least within this week, sort through how we think and feel about these issues in order that we can at least be non-defensive when we hear the conversations of the day, whether or not we're actually prepared to bring the mind of Christ to bear in every part of this very nuanced conversation. So here's how we're going to start. When you hear the word immigrant, what happens in your heart? Maybe you are a first-generation immigrant to the United States, and so what happens in your heart is different than what happens in the heart of a person who's third or fourth generation American. When you hear the word immigrant, what happens in your heart? What images flash across your mind's eye? What emotions do you feel? And what does all that tell you about yourself? Now let's pause here for a moment. If you feel the least bit defensive right now, I want you to sort of ask yourself why. Why does my simply bringing up a particular word provoke defensiveness? I mean, we only get defensive when we're feeling judged about something. And if you're feeling that, I want you to ask yourself why you're feeling it. Now, most of us, more than 3/4 of Americans actually, want to see Congress pass comprehensive immigration reform. That is, however, where our agreement on the subject seems to end and the polarization begins. So there are those in America who seem to want to keep everyone out. But in reality, our nation could not function without immigrants, without non-citizens here doing what they do. And so we have to be more precise when we talk about immigration, because not all immigrants are created equal in terms of their status. They're all created equal in terms of their dignity before the Lord our God. And so we need to know what others mean when they use the terms, and we need to know what they're talking about. And so some of what we're going to do this week is sort out the terms and the terminology and the issues at hand. We also need to consider the worldview implications of the conversation. Not everybody is operating from a biblically informed Christian worldview, and not every Christian is actually operating from a Christian worldview in this particular conversation. When it comes to immigration, we have to ask ourselves, am I operating from a Christian worldview on this particular topic? In 2015, Lifeway Research partnered with the Evangelical Immigration Table and World Relief to survey evangelical Americans on the subject of immigration. It's fascinating. They're fascinating numbers in here. And here's reality. Something like 60% of evangelicals believe that immigration reform should actually establish a path to citizenship. And so I realize that when we're using statistics, you know, they change pretty rapidly. And what we mean by comprehensive immigration reform and what we mean by a path to citizenship are then both totally debatable. But almost everyone agrees that immigration reform should include border security. And so I think that when we look at research like this, and then we look at when it was done, in this case 2015, we have to recognize that the landscape related to immigration has changed pretty dramatically since the election of Donald Trump to president. It's notable that the research was done prior to the election of Donald Trump as president. President Trump is known to have significant support from certain white evangelical Christians, and immigration may be the most significant distinction between those evangelicals who support Trump and those who don't. I'm just telling you, this is how contentious this conversation becomes when you and I sit down as Christians to try to engage in this particular conversation of the day. So our conversations that we're having this week on Connecting Faith are going to make some evangelical Christians uncomfortable. Some of my conversation partners are going to say things which will furrow your brow and may make you increase the intensity of your grip on the steering wheel or your pace on the treadmill, depending how you're listening to us right now. But if all we ever do is listen to the people who satisfy our itching ears and with whom we already nod in agreement on all of these issues, then how will we, as one nation under God, indivisible, ever get beyond the current intolerable impasse? So I'm willing to have the hard conversations. I'm willing to have my viewpoint changed because above all else, I'm committed to the truth. So let's dive in together. Let's commit to learn what we can, agree where we can agree, and disagree graciously where we cannot yet find common ground. Can we do that? I mean, that's my plan for the scope of the conversation here this week on Connecting Faith. I want you to participate in the conversation. I want you to engage. I want you to communicate with me on Twitter at Carmen LaBurge. I want you to email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. I want you to call the studio line, although I'm not taking open calls today because we're booked solid. But I want you to call this week, 877-93-FAITH. You can always leave me a message and we'll process it and I'll try to answer it. I'll try to address it. All right. I want to hear from you this week on this subject, particularly later in the week when we've got a little more flexibility in the schedule. So let me give you the guests for the week. Today, we're going to talk with Tony Suarez. He's the executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Tomorrow, we're going to talk with Alan Cross. Alan is a Southern Baptist pastor. He's engaging churches on this issue. Danny Carroll will be our guest on Wednesday. He's an Old Testament professor at Wheaton College and the author of Christians at the Border. He and I are going to talk about what the Bible actually says about all this. We'll also be joined on Wednesday by Rondell Trevino from the Immigration Project. Matthew Sorens will join us on Thursday. He's the National Coordinator for the Evangelical Immigration Table. And on Friday, Jenny Yang will be my conversation partner. She's the Vice President of Advocacy and Policy for World Relief. She's also the co-author of Welcoming the Stranger, Justice, Compassion, and Truth in the Immigration Debate. Friends, it's going to be if you wanted a course in immigration, tune in to Connecting Faith this week and take notes. This is our opportunity to engage substantively over a long discourse on a subject where we need to not only be informed, but we need to be prayerfully and actively engaged. This is something that God actually cares about that's going on in our culture in the time in which God has set us as his ambassadors and his representatives. And so we want to represent God well on these issues. So this is how we're going to start. After the break today, we're going to kick off this week's immigration conversation with Tony Suarez. Again, he is the executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. So you can check that out at nhclc.org. I got to take a quick break. And when we come back, Tony will be on. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. We'll be right back.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty.
Hey, friends, you're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. It's Immigration Week on Connecting Faith. And my conversation partner today is Reverend Tony Suarez. You can follow him on Twitter at Rev Tony Suarez. He's an evangelist. He's the host of Praise TBN and TBN Salsa. He's the host of Faith Alive. And he's the executive vice president of the NHCLC, which is the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Tony, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you so much for having me on the program. I'm glad to be here today.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you, and I'm actually particularly excited to have you on the day following Pentecost. So yesterday was Pentecost. You're an evangelist. You're a worship leader. Let's just start by revisiting Pentecost and allowing God to sort of capture us by his power. Who is the Holy Spirit and what is the church?
The Holy Spirit is that same Spirit that, well, first off, it's God, and then it's that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That same resurrection power that we celebrated on Easter is the same power, the same Spirit we were celebrating yesterday, and we should continue to celebrate every day. And it's the celebration that the same thing, the same power that resurrected our Savior is the same power that now lives inside of us and makes us the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful to be Pentecostal. I'm thankful that the move of the Spirit, the Pentecostal experience, is not relegated to one denomination or one movement, but it's available to anyone that hungers and thirsts for Christ. And I was just excited yesterday to see, at least from what I could see, the entire body of Christ celebrating what took place in an upper room in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. So a great day, and I think for all Christians, as much as we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate Easter, we need to give special time to celebrate Pentecost Sunday, which is the church's birthday in essence.
Amen. Amen. So it might seem odd to some people that you and I would go from there to a conversation about the concerns of the immigrant or the concerns of immigration here in the United States of America. So, you know, it would be my contention that, you know, Pentecost is all about the gospel going forth through one set of believers into the world to everybody else. And there were a lot of folks gathered from lots of different countries in Jerusalem who were present at Pentecost, who then went back to other places around the globe in order that the word could begin to spread. And so, you know, I mean, I feel like what we do in worship is intimately connected to what we're doing every day out in the world. So from your perspective, Amen. Can you just distill for us, you know, if you were just going to break it down for people, what's sort of the current immigration situation and or use whatever language you want to describe what we're dealing with right now in the United States of America related to immigration?
One of my favorite translations of Acts chapter 1, verse 8 comes from the Amplified Version that says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, we traditionally have heard you will receive power. One version of the Amplified Bible says you shall become capable, efficient, and mighty after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then we see this phenomenon of the promise of the Father being poured out in Acts chapter 2. They begin speaking with other tongues, and they are charged immediately to become witnesses to Judea, to Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. The book of Acts is this progressive chronological recap of how the gospel started in one place and then reached what was the known world of the time. This message of Jesus Christ and what compels us as Christians to become involved in civic issues, political issues, anything without the four walls of the church. We do it because we're compelled by the power of the Holy Spirit to share the message of Christ. And I believe that when that gospel is shared, it won't just save your soul. It'll change everything about you. I believe it can change our politics. I believe it can change our government. And I believe that there's unjust laws, or if I might say it this way, maybe laws that are even outdated, that don't correctly reflect the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as Spirit-filled believers, we're compelled to speak into those arenas. My boss, my mentor, the Reverend Sam Rodriguez, has taught me since I began working with him that God was raising up modern-day Daniels and Esthers and Josephs and Nehemiahs. Nehemiahs that don't have the title of the king, but they have the ears of the king. The Daniels that might not have a title, but they'll have influence. The Josephs that will get into the inner courts. And it's to be a good influence for godly principles. When it comes to immigration, the way I became involved in the issue, I was born and raised in Chicago. My father was Colombian. My mother is American, born and raised in Chicago. She was a missionary in Colombia, married my father. He immigrated legally to the United States. But growing up in the church, when I became a teenager, I remember that some of our young people got driver's license and some of them didn't. It was about that time that I became aware of this issue. But again, this is late 80s, early 90s. You did not see it was almost like I would hate to say joke, but there wasn't the tension that you feel in the air today. Fast forward, and 13 years later, I moved to Virginia Beach to plant a church to predominantly reach into the Latino community. And within that first 2 or 3 years, we baptized a little over 250 people, but we noticed that 67% of our congregation is undocumented immigrants. We're having 1 to 2 people deported every week. I'm seeing ICE vans parked up and down the highways of Virginia. I'm not talking about Arizona, Texas. I'm not talking about a border state, but in Virginia. And I was very moved about the issue and how I could help my people, because while I don't condone someone coming the wrong way, I took time to hear the stories of why these people came. It wasn't that they wanted to come the wrong way. There's a myriad of reasons how people came into the country. But when you heard the story and you heard the persecution they were fleeing and the poverty they were fleeing and the communism that they were fleeing in some of their countries, you felt a certain compassion that this has always been a nation of immigrants. This has always been a nation that opens its doors, rightfully so. We've always asked people to come the quote-unquote right way, the proverbial right way, if you will. But we have to look at our law today and ask ourselves, is there really a right way for someone to come? And I think that's somewhere that that we have to debate, or at least open up the debate, because there's a lot of people that when they hear that I advocate for immigration reform, they'll say, well, you know, Pastor Tony, I just think people should come the right way. But we need to see, is there truly a right way for someone to come? If I'm a middle-class family in Guatemala, and I don't have a doctorate's degree, I'm not a high-skilled engineer, but I'm a God-fearing person, and I want to come the right way, the reality is there is no right way for me to come unless I win a visa lottery, which still exists in certain countries. It used to be that if I had a family member here, I could fill out a petition, but that could take 10 to 12 years. And if I'm the father, and I have an 11-year-old daughter, if I live in a country where I feel like she is susceptible to human trafficking, to sex trafficking, if I feel that I live in a place where there's utter violence and that I need to do something for the protection of my daughter, I might not be able to wait 10 to 12 years. Hence the situation that we're in. And then to make it worse, it's easy for us to say they should not come. And I know I'm because of our time limitation, I think I'm just throwing a lot of different things at the wall and seeing what sticks. But as much as we can say it's wrong for them to come the wrong way, what part in the equation do American companies play when they continue to hire undocumented immigrants? A friend of mine said there's two signs at the border. It's an illustration. One sign says, do not enter. But there's another sign that has like Las Vegas lights on it, and it says, help wanted, inquire within. Mm-hmm. If you were to deport, if somehow a mass deportation, which I don't believe will ever happen, But if there was some kind of mass deportation and you were to mass deport 12 to 14 million undocumented immigrants, our economy would go into crisis. Our food prices would skyrocket because it's undocumented immigrants that are picking our fruit. They're picking our vegetables. They're milking cows. They're building houses and communities all around the United States. So we also have to see what part our economy is playing in the situation that we're currently in. And when, and then finally, once we address some of those issues, the onus has to be put on, put at the feet of the only people in this country that can solve this problem. And those people work on Capitol Hill, not on the White House. They're not on Pennsylvania Avenue, but they're on Capitol Hill. The House and the Senate are the only people that can bring legislation to the president's desk. And sad to say, but for 30 years, for three decades, Congress has failed on the issue of immigration and somehow have gotten a pass.
All right, friends, that voice you're hearing is Reverend Tony Suarez. He's the executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. He's also a pastor. And as you can tell, he's very well informed about the issues that we're discussing all this week on Connecting Faith. Our issue of the week is immigration. We want to be cultivating the mind of Christ on this particular matter. And if it makes you uncomfortable, you know, then I'm kind of excited. Like, right, we're trying to have a conversation where we listen to the perspectives of others in order that we could actually cultivate the mind of Christ on this particular matter, because we want to be authentic Christians in this particular conversation of our day. So we're going to have to take a break here. But when we come back, Tony and I are going to continue this conversation, and specifically we're going to talk about what is or is not happening on Capitol Hill, whether or not Tony sees a way forward, who is making headway, so that we can actually know, you know, how as Christians we can bring our prayerful, powerful influence to bear on those whom we have elected who sit in those policy positions. So again, friends, if you want to connect with me, you can do so on Twitter. I'm at Carmen LaBerge. If you want to connect with Tony, he's at Rev Tony Suarez. That's S-U-A-R-E-Z. You can also check out what they're doing at the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. That's nhclc.org. We have to take a break here in just a minute. I think I actually probably have about a minute before we have to go to the break. So, Tony, let's do this one question before we go to the break. What's Sammy Rodriguez up to that we all need to know about?
He's doing anything and everything, and his new book, Shake Free, releases tomorrow. So I would highly encourage everyone to go out and get it, because it's a life-changing prophetic book that will bless every listener that's with us today.
Oh, that's fun. All right. So, friends, we're going to be back here at Connecting Faith in just a moment. You can check it out online at myfaithradio.com/connectingfaith. And you can certainly email me your questions and comments, carmen@myfaithradio.com. We're going to continue the conversation about immigration with Reverend Tony Suarez when we come right back. This is Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. Hey, friends, welcome back. You are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. I am joined this afternoon by Reverend Tony Suarez. You can follow him on Twitter at Rev Tony Suarez. He's a pastor and an evangelist, and he hosts all kinds of great programming. He's with us today as the executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. He also serves on the president's informal faith advisory board. And what we're talking about is immigration. It is our subject for the entire week on Connecting Faith. And we are really seeking to cultivate the mind of Christ on this particular matter. So, Tony, again, welcome to Connecting Faith. Let's jump in where we left off. When we read the headlines, we see that there's, you know, like serious fracture, even among GOP lawmakers in Congress related to immigration reform. Can you tell us kind of where we're at and if you see a way forward?
Where we're at is where we've always been. We're stuck. If I didn't do my job for 30 days, I don't think I'd have a job. And I, okay, of course, we want to say this with compassion and grace. But Congress hasn't done their job on immigration for 30 years. Let that sink in. Three decades of inaction on this issue. And it's not to say that it hasn't been a strong talking point. There have been times where we were very close. In 2001, we were close. 2007, 2013, 12 to 13. And then it seemed just a few months ago, well, at this point, just right, you know, right before Christmas, it seemed like there was going to be some kind of legislation drawn up to help Dreamers. But we get so close, like the old Frank Sinatra song says, so close but yet so far. Every time it seems like we're going to have a victory, it falls apart. And when you point fingers, you have to point fingers at both parties, and quite at both parties, at both chambers of the House and the Senate. And it's not Republicans' fault. It's not Democrats' fault. It's everybody's fault. They've taken an issue that affects human beings, that affects families, and they've played politics. They've played politics and at the risk of dividing families, allowing children to be raised without a father or a mother, and it's wrong. I don't believe that the father is pleased by the politics that are being played. And we focus a lot, the media focuses a lot on the White House. But as we understand our government, the White House does not write our laws. They enforce, in the sense that they uphold our current laws, but only our legislative branch, only the Congress and the Senate can write laws. And they have yet to put anything on President Trump's desk for him to either sign into law or to veto. Same goes with President Obama. At one point in 2012, may have been going into 2013, there were four different pieces of legislation that were in the House. Any of those would have had enough votes to pass, and John Boehner didn't call for a vote. Any of those could have gone to President Obama's desk, and they could have been voted into law, saving us some of the strife that we're having today, but it never happened. Why? I guess that's a question for someone else. Personally, I think we've played politics. I think that Republicans don't want there to be an immigration win under a Democratic leader. I think Democrats don't want there to be an immigration win under a Republican leader. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the beginning of the Trump campaign and think of some of the rhetoric that we heard. Who would have ever thought that the topic of immigration reform or helping Dreamers would have been a reality? A lot of pessimistic people would have said there's no way that Trump would help. Yet we've seen a president who has talked about showing love and compassion. In fact, not only showing love and compassion, but he's even conceded some of the things that he asked for in the beginning. He's proposed a pathway to citizenship, something that others thought would never be on the table. But do Democrats, and I'm asking an open-ended question. I don't have the answer. I have my opinion on it. Do Democrats really want there to be an immigration win under a Trump administration?
Well, wouldn't you hope
their worst nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you hope, Tony, I guess my hope is that we want a win for people. And I think that when we're talking to Christians, you know, that's one of the things that we've got to keep front and center. We've got to be saying, look, you know, what is on the Father's heart related to this? It's certainly not on the heart of God that families would be divided. It's certainly not God's heart that, you know, that we would be punishing people because of where they're born or because our laws are so broken that we don't actually have a functional process by mm-hmm. which they can enter legally or remain legally. So, you know, I think that one of the big wake up calls recently is all of these folks who've been here under a temporary protected status who are now slated for deportation. And it's all because when they came, we had no definition of what the word temporary meant. And so they've been here now for 20 years under temporary protected status. And now somebody's like, well, you know what? Temporary is not 20 years. That's definitely more than temporary. And so mm-hmm. I think, you know, we have this huge challenge. I think you are illuminating it for us that our laws, our system is very, very broken. And the only people in a position to fix that is Congress. Again, let me just remind people who they're listening to, because every 7 minutes on the radio, new people are listening, and so they don't know who they're listening to. So here we go. You guys are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Carmen LaBurge, the host of the program. My conversation partner is Tony Suarez. He's the executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, and we're talking about immigration. All right, Tony. You were about to say something. Well, you were about to say something, and I cut you off.
No, I was going to say that we have bad laws on the book. Martin Luther King said, enforce the laws, and I'm paraphrasing it, and change the laws that need to be changed. I'm paraphrasing because I wasn't prepared to quote Martin Luther King today. But we have bad laws that need to be changed. President Trump, all he does is enforce the current laws. And it highlights how bad they are and how needful it is for change to take place. When President Obama unveiled the DACA program several years ago, there was not this huge turnout to sign up for the program as was originally anticipated because of the first word, DACA. The first D of DACA stands for deferred, which in essence means we won't deport you today. We're going to defer your deportation. So people came out of the shadows, gave their information, knowing that at some point, you know what? We might be deported. We might be asked to leave the country, bringing us to where we are right now. Now, again, this is an opinion that I have. When President Trump rescinded the DACA program, I think, and again, if this and everything is still in limbo, I think history might look back and say it was a brilliant move by the president, and I'll explain why. After DACA, there was a program that came out called DAPA, which was essentially going to be a protective order for the parents of these students, and it was taken to the Supreme Court and found that it was unconstitutional, and it was the DAPA program was overturned. Well, right about the time that President Trump rescinded DACA and was being criticized for that, something that the media doesn't talk about is that there was 10 state attorney generals that were about to sue the federal government over the DACA program, meaning that the same court that overturned DAPA could have very well overturned DACA. By doing what the president did, he was forcing Congress's hand, in essence, to give us a permanent legislative solution so that these children would not be in the hands of the court. He punted the ball to Congress and said, fix it, and they fumbled the ball. Now let's hope that they can pick it up and solve the issue before the courts do take this up, but I mean, we don't have years to wait anymore. We're talking about months. The onus is sitting. There's one of my favorite Bible verses comes out of the book of Psalms where it says, I lift mine eyes to the hill from whence cometh my help. And I'm going to do something that a preacher's not supposed to do. I'm going to take it a little bit out of context. because our hope right now to solve this problem is on Capitol Hill. So when I look for hope on the issue, I don't look to the White House. I don't look to the Supreme Court. I look to Capitol Hill. They are the only ones that can solve this problem. And right now, I don't care whether it's Republicans or Democrats. They need to come together. And there are some that genuinely want to work together. And then it's just sad to see the others that are so caught up in partisan politics. They'll let this sit through the midterm so that it not cost them an election. And I think that's sad.
I think that's sad, too. Tony, let's do this for our listeners. Let's go right into like a heart question. What do you say to people who fear immigration because they actually fear immigrants? They actually fear the other. What do you say to them as a pastor?
It's hard. I guess to me, I'd ask them to qualify the statement. I mean, there's immigrants all around us. And I'm not playing the race card. Is it a skin tone that intimidates you? Is it a language barrier that intimidates you? Is it the clothing of a particular group that intimidates you? I think there's different things that intimidates, but I'd remind them that even with those things, and again, there's different things that concern all of us, but this is a nation that was founded by immigrants. We've always been welcoming. Well, I'm going to say that two ways. We've always been welcoming of immigrants, and we've always been suspect of the people that we're welcoming. The Chinese had this issue. The Irish had this issue. The Italian had this issue when Puerto Ricans started coming in the 40s and 50s. I mean, so this is like a somewhat of a this comes full cycle, right? This always happens. We worry in a sense, are they invading us? Are they taking over our culture, our language? The best example I can give is New York, where 118 years ago, Little Italy was Little Italy, and Italian was the main language spoken, and a lot of the culture and customs of Italy were still being held. But now in 2018, you go to Little Italy, and it's restaurants and T-shirt shops, and everyone speaks English, because as time goes on and as generations are raised here, more and more generations are assimilated into the American way of life. And I think we need to have patience for that with the current group of new immigrants that have come into this country. That first generation will always speak their native language, but by the third generation, their children speak English.
Right, absolutely. All right, Tony, you and I should continue this conversation, but we're going to have to do so at a later time. Thank you so much for joining us today on Connecting Faith, and thank you for all that you are doing on this front. Continue the good work that you're doing, not only in your congregation, but through all of the ministries in which you're engaged. And folks, you can follow Tony on Twitter at Rev Tony Suarez, and you can check out what they're doing at the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference at nhclc.org. Tony, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
All right, friends, I got to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to make the connecting point, and then we're going to have our monthly Monday checkup with Lisa Marone. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Carmen LaBurge. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Welcome back. I'm Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to Connecting Faith. All right. All this week on Connecting Faith, we're going to be talking about immigration. And so the connecting point today is really a simple one, because we're going to jump to our conversation here with Lisa Marone. But today's connecting point is this. On the subject of comprehensive immigration reform, what is your member of Congress actually doing? So, what's your representative doing? What are your senators doing? What are your people in Washington? Those are your people in Washington, by the way. If you've ever wondered, who are my people in Washington? Your people in Washington are the ones elected from where you live. So what are they doing about the subject of comprehensive immigration reform? How can you help them do it better? How can you, not only as their constituent, but as a Christian, how can you help them understand the concerns that Christians who are Americans have about the immigration issue and about the immigrants among us? So that's going to be our connecting point for today. This is a subject we're going to be talking about all week, and I do want to hear from you. So communicate with me on Twitter at Carmen LaBurge. You can email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. You can call and leave me a message at 877-93-FAITH. All right, now it's time for our monthly Monday checkup with Lisa Marone. Lisa, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Carmen, great to be with you guys today.
So people can see what we're talking about if they visit lisamarone.com. Your website has not moved, but have you already moved?
I have not moved. I'm just packing boxes, but I did just come from this weekend down in Virginia where I will live. My son graduated from Liberty University. That's my baby, so I'm all done with graduating kids from at least their undergraduate programs.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so graduation reminds us that it's now summer. So let me just go ahead and confess. I already have a blister from hiking. I have some sort of weird heat rash right around my sock line. I've got a bit of a sunburn on the back of my neck, and I've got mosquito bites all over. So summer is filled with...
Oh, summer has begun.
Summer has begun. It's filled with fun. It's also filled with greater risks. So let's jump into what you have posted today at lisamarone.com about cuts, bumps, and sprains. Tell us what we need to know.
Listen, we're all out there, we're trying to enjoy ourselves, and sometimes it doesn't even happen to happen while we're enjoying ourselves. We might just trip over something. And so most of us know how to deal with a bloodied knee or a little bump on the forehead, but there's some significant things that I know as a mom, I was wondering, what do I do here? And one of those things, Carmen, is when your kid or your adult friend or yourself, if you get a deep gash, what the doctors might call a laceration, you might have cut yourself with a kitchen knife or your child has hit something really sharp and you have this kind of puncture wound or something that has just split open the skin. And the rule of thumb with what to do about that bleeding wound is that, first of all, you should apply some gentle pressure with a cloth or a paper towel or what have you over the wound. But the bleeding of that wound should stop within 15 minutes. Carmen, if it keeps bleeding after 15 minutes and that thing looks pretty nasty, you really should bring yourself or your child or whomever to the doctor, because you only have a 24-hour window to stitch a wound closed and get a very beautiful, light, fading scar. If you had something that needed to be stitched, like I did as a child on my thigh, and your mom didn't bring you to the doctor and the body just healed itself, I now have a good quarter-inch thick kind of a scar going on there. Mm-hmm. So that's a really important tip.
Okay, so that covers the cuts. My niece took a pretty good elbow to the head in a recent basketball game. And because she started showing all of those gross, icky signs of concussion, they actually went and had her checked out. So she's actually now being treated for a concussion. Let's talk about what do we do if a kid hits their head on the dock? They get, you know, they get a shot in the head from the canoe paddle or the baseball bat. They fall out of a tree. You know, when is it more than just a bump on the head?
Yeah. We always used to think that it wasn't serious unless the person got knocked unconscious. But about 90% of actual brain injuries occur without loss of consciousness. So that's not a good sign. So a better sign is if the person feels dizzy afterwards, maybe they feel a little bit just either groggy or just you're speaking to them and they're not responding clearly. So they're a little dazed by the situation. But if they follow up, you know, you put them on the sidelines or like maybe it's just a gentleman who struck his head in the garage. You're sitting down, you're starting to develop a headache. Maybe your neck is hurting because you kind of get a whiplash injury with that. You might feel nauseous or vomiting. Those things or even blurred or double vision. Those kind of things are going to really start to say, okay, wait a second, I need to get to my doctor, get this checked out. Because here's what's so interesting, Carmen. If you take a post-concussive person and you put them back in the game or back in the classroom or even back in the work setting too early and their brain hasn't healed yet, it's still swollen, and you make that person think or you make that person play sports where they're jogging around and they're jostling their brain within their skull, you can actually learn that can lead to permanent brain damage and early dementia signs. And so it's really important that we figure out, do we have a concussion? And then post-concussive, how do you treat that out? There's a whole lot of information on that beyond the scope of our interview this morning.
Okay, friends, we're talking to Lisa Marone. We check in with her every month. We need a little checkup every once in a while. Let's just say I twist my ankle when I'm hiking, or I come down funny after spiking the volleyball on the beach. What have you got for me, Lisa? Am I supposed to heat it up, or am I supposed to, you know, stick it in the cooler with the ice?
Great question. There's two types of things that could happen when you twist your ankle. You could have a muscle strain, or you could have a ligament sprain. But either way, there's been damage done on the cellular level. And so when the cell wall is breached and torn through, then we're going to have this leaking of fluid out into the atmosphere of that joint or that muscle. And that's where you kind of get that puffy swelling that goes on. Or if your muscle's strained, it might just feel tender to the touch. Those are signs that we need to ice rather than heat. Heat feels really nice and cozy. I realize that. But it does nothing for the healing. In fact, it kind of aggravates it because heat is going to draw blood to the area, which is going to make the vessels and the cells even leak out more fluid. And so ice is fabulous because not only is it an anti-inflammatory element or agent, it's also an antispasmodic, which means that it breaks down muscle spasm and that holding, that painful holding, and it also is a numbing agent, and so it actually is killing the pain sensors or deadening or freezing, if you would, the pain sensors at the local area. So definitely ice. And, Carmen, there's a special way to ice. Don't just wrap a paper a towel, a kitchen towel, around an ice pack and put it on. You need to have something wet between your skin and the ice pack. So a wet paper towel, which is really thin, between your skin and the ice pack, and keeping it on for only 10 or 15 minutes so you don't frostbite yourself, because you don't want to cool the area. You want to make it very cold and almost freeze it so that your skin is numb to the touch.
Well, now I have learned something. I didn't know I was supposed to have something wet between the ice pack and my skin. Well, there you go. All right. That's super
helpful. That wetness is going to transmit the cold.
Interesting.
Instead of a dry surface, which is going to insulate the cold from getting to you.
That makes perfect sense when you say it. All right. Well, there you go. All right. So, Lisa, next time maybe we could talk about bug bites and sunburn.
That'd be great.
Hey, thank you so much, as always, for joining us on Connecting Faith. Again, friends, you can find it at lisamarone.com. Today's Monday morning checkup is cuts, bumps, and sprains. Lisa, thanks again for joining us on Connecting Faith.
You're so welcome. Have a super day.
You too. All right, friends. What are you doing this summer? What have you got? What have you got planned? Where are you going? What do you intend to see? Who do you intend to be with? I don't know about you, but our summer plans are, they come together, and then, you know, plans that you've made with certain people tend to break down, and then other people have expectations, and then you get the packet of stuff from school that kids are expected to do over the summer, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, now I got to work that into the everyday plan this particular summer. So I'd love to hear what your summer plans are. I'd love to keep up with you over the months of the summer. This really is supposed to be a conversation. I really would love for this to be a time of some give and some take. And so you can email me, Carmen@myfaithradio.com. You can always call me at 877-93-FAITH. And you can check out what we're doing at myfaithradio.com/connectingfaith. You can share today's program with others and invite them to listen in to the conversation the rest of the week. We are going to be talking about immigration all week, and how do we cultivate a Christian worldview on this very contentious subject. This is really not about partisanship. If you were paying attention to what Tony Suarez said, you know, this doesn't really come down in lines that are red or blue. This really comes down in lines that are somehow in different places. And so we're talking about whether or not we're going to be people of welcome and compassion, and whether or not we're going to serve the least of these, both those who are among us and those who live elsewhere. And it gets into a really serious conversation, not only about the borders of our country, but into a conversation about what it means to be Christians and what it means to be American. And so I think all of those conversations are important for us to have. And so all this week on Connecting Faith, this is what we're going to be talking about, this particular subject of immigration. And so let me remind you who's going to be with us this week. Today we talked with Tony Suarez, and tomorrow we're going to be talking with Alan Cross. Alan is a Southern Baptist pastor who's engaging churches across the Southeast on this particular issue of immigration. On Wednesday, we'll be talking with Danny Carroll. He is a professor of Old Testament at Wheaton College and the author of Christians at the Border. Also on Wednesday, we'll have Rondell Trevino from the Immigration Project. If you can go to theimmigrationproject.com, you can see what they're doing to equip churches on this subject. On Thursday, Matthew Sorens will be with us. He's the National Coordinator for the Evangelical Immigration Table. And then on Friday, we'll be joined by Jenny Yang. Jenny is the Vice President for Advocacy and Policy at World Relief and the co-author of Welcoming the Stranger, Justice, Compassion, and Truth in the Immigration Debate. All right, friends, what are you thinking on the subject of immigration? Let me know via email, carmen@myfaithradio.com. Let me know on Twitter. I'm @CarmenLaBurge. And you can also check out what I've posted today at reconnectwithcarmen.com. It's Monday, so you got the Monday morning must read. All right, friends, that's all we got time for today. I'll see you right back here tomorrow on Connecting Faith. Have a great day, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Connecting Faith. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com.
And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend to grow the impact of Connecting Faith. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a conversation.